This morning, I believe I'd like to go first to 1 Peter, the second chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2. After last Sunday trying to talk about the death and the resurrection of Jesus, laying down of his life and the raising up again of Jesus Christ and all, I'd like to pivot into more of the fact that he, in that John chapter 10, spoke a lot of the sheep, shepherd, the good shepherd, so forth, lays down his life for the sheep and so forth. And so I want to go more into, as he serves us now, as our shepherd now. Certainly, if you think of a literal shepherd of a flock of sheep, a dead shepherd does the flock no good. Doesn't do the flock any good. But we have a living shepherd. We have an eternal shepherd. And we look to him, our good, our great shepherd, the shepherd, in our lives. As Brother Roger was leading, I believe it was the second song he led, it talked a lot about our walk now. He's my friend, as every verse ended with that, and the things that happens here that he provides us. And so, our shepherd, if you think back to John chapter 10, he performed a selfless act there. Certainly he had the power. He said it right there. He had the power to take his life up again. But he suffered and bled and died there that we might live. And then even now, he shepherds us. He feeds us. So in this second chapter of 1 Peter, I don't know what I might draw out of this, and may not take me very long at all. So you continue to pray. This chapter 2 of 1 Peter, 21st verse. We'll just read a couple of these verses here. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. So he suffered for us. That selfless sacrifice of his, it is even to this day an example for us. And he says that ye may follow in his steps, that you should follow in his steps. Speaking of Christ again, who did no sin, he offered himself instead of us, in our stead. He was sinless. He did not deserve to be crucified, and yet he did that for us, for his sheep, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Guile is simply deceit, trickery, dishonesty. There was no guile found there. Only truth. He is truth. who, still talking about Christ, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. To be reviled is to be abused. It is abusive reproach he took upon himself. And we can read some of the descriptive language of leading up to the crucifixion, and then even those criminals hanging there next to him and all railing on him, and those mocking him, and then even before he'd gotten to Golgotha to be crucified, the mockery and the humility that took place against Jesus Christ, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. So again, he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. I've already failed at this. I haven't gotten very far, and I fail at that. When he was reviled. He reviled not. He didn't come back. We know what he could have done. He had the great power there, but certainly to respond. When he suffered, he threatened not. But what did he do? But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And all that suffering, him railing against him, the mocking him, the suffering that he took on himself, what was his reaction? He committed even stronger to the Lord God Almighty, his Father, because he came to do his will, and he did that. It's almost like in that suffering that he became even more strengthened there, that he committed himself to God the Father. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. So now, being dead to sins, now we live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep, there's the sheep, going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We are now returned. That is the state that we're in. We're returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. We have a living shepherd. He rose again from the grave by his great power. And now he shepherds us. I think of the innumerable times that I certainly was not deserving continuously of his great blessings. And yet, because of his mercy upon me, I'll just bring it to myself then. He is still there. The times that I felt the weakest, that I had succumbed to the wiles of Satan, who is also let loose a season. But Jesus Christ, our shepherd, if we can draw upon that great power that Jesus took to raise himself from the grave, then to withstand that, there's great blessings in our lives because of that when we are blessed. Blessed to do that. Now, another aspect. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 12, and lead up to another aspect of our walk in life, and what the Lord says about this in His Word. I don't want to really read all this from the first verse of the 12th chapter of Hebrews, but it does talk about our running with patience the race that is set before us. Patience is cheerful endurance. That's not my patience. I battle it. I fight that. I'm impatient. But we are to run our race with patience. How much more blessed would I be in that race were I to do this, were I to follow his example that he showed us there, at Calvary and in his life, here. And here is what we are to do, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, he saw of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. He saw that. He saw the result of that in that crucifixion and was satisfied. So who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That sacrifice was accepted. That's where he is now. And he's making intercessions for us, merciful high priest, Jesus Christ. He knows us. He knows us more than we know ourselves, and still yet blesses us because of the righteousness in him that is now imputed to us. We have his righteousness, and there's the battle in our lives, but he gives gives us the strength to look to the Good Shepherd in our lives. And when we are blessed to do that, then He is glorified. That's what we're to do. And as we see our lives getting farther and farther along, our natural lives there's not a whole lot of time left to perfect that. But we do grow more mature in serving Him through the Spirit of Almighty God, and He blesses us with that, and we're edified, we're uplifted, that we might not wallow in our pity here. We're so thankful for that. Four, consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Consider that. Think back. Picture that. That scene there, and what He has accomplished and finished for us, and then told us about that. He has given us this good news, the glad tidings that He completed. He finished that work. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When I grow weary, when I become faint, grow faint in my life, and I shouldn't do that if I'm looking to Him, but that's the key, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and considering Him that endured these things, then lest I grow weary and faint in my mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You haven't resisted unto blood. We haven't suffered like He suffered. He set that example, as Peter said over there, that we should follow in His steps. And yes, I have followed those men or women that I truly respect and that are blessed to follow Him. And yet, we are to set our sights a little bit higher than that. A great deal higher than that, and that's Christ Jesus. That's who we're to follow and use as our example. Never can attain to that level, but yet we strive to do that in our lives. And ye have forgotten, Paul says here to the Hebrews, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. So it's telling us that when we're chastised, when we're chastened, to not despise that. And this particular a Greek word underneath the English word despise. This is the only place in the New Testament this is used, and it's more than just disesteemed, rejecting, or it is counting it as but little. You're not counting it as great as you should. One is not there. But despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. And so we'll get a little bit more into this chastisement in our lives. And it is related. He gives us a human aspect of this, a natural in nature in a moment. But despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. That's a great blessing to know that. And so when we are chastised by God, it is because He loves us. I don't want Him to stop. That's part of that maturing process in honoring Him and worshiping Him here in our lives. When He chastises us. And I tend to lean toward that. What have I done to be punished of what act in my life? I think about that, and so often the sin that plagues us when I'm not doing as he says. He gives us plenty of scripture here, the blessed perfect Word of God. I just read several verses of it. How to lift ourselves up through this great Shepherd that sacrificed Himself for us, that we not grow weary and faint in our minds. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So he's bringing out that we have been corrected by others. Certainly, both men and women that we respected, as he says here, they corrected us, which we gave them reverence or respect. There, how much more should we revere and respect the chastisement of God Almighty Himself, Jesus Christ? Because I tell you what, the love, I know we have the love of Christ within us, and those that correct us should use that love. But Jesus Christ, if we just think back the last several Sundays, starting back with the atonement, the sacrifice, and then Him laying down His life for the sheep and so forth, that love that took, I had this plague and this sickness of sin within me, and I cannot see that clearly. It's through a glass darkly that I see it now. But one day, face to face, we will realize that love, that perfect love. And at that time, then I can honor Him. I can revere Him as I should. I would not have Satan tempt me here to the point of telling me, well, you're never going to attain this here. You're never going to become perfect. You're never going to become sinless in the flesh here. So you might as well just cast Him aside. No, let's not get to that point. Let's continue to serve God. Certainly Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, deserves that. He deserves our praise and honor. And then on top of that, then He bestows, rains down the blessings upon us in trying to do that. There is something continually, Brother Roger mentioned, and going and seeing Sister Stephanie's dad over there and all. That's part of that, serving one another and there. And I fail at that. I'm not going to keep going into what I fail at because I could be here all day. This chastisement is of Jesus Christ who loves us. Remember John chapter 10. He laid down our lives for us, for the sheep. And that's the loving Savior and Shepherd that we have chastising us today. He's going to, and He is a perfect shepherd. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. I would like to go, if I can find, I think it's the third chapter of Proverbs. Third chapter of Proverbs. Yes. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Some of the same similar wording here. Neither be weary of his correction. When I am not responding to his correction, to his chastening, the Lord's chastening, in the right manner, then that's my nature. When I'm blessed by God to see that and respond as I should, and not grow weary in his chastening of me, then that's the Spirit of God that's within us, that eternal life within us. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. So he does that in love. And as we've talked about, and I'll mention again prayer in a moment when I go to 1 Samuel. Jesus Christ and Lord God Almighty, when we pray to them the numberless other people that are praying to him that need his assistance, the shepherding at that time, then he can bestow his time. He's not limited by that. So what I'm leading up to here is whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Maybe one day I will understand that, that he is able to be with you at the same time. He can cause you not to be weary in the correction, his correction, if, in fact, we're blessed of that spirit and we're actually even uplifted by that. Now, in 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter of 1 Samuel. And then I'll close with these few verses here this morning. 1 Samuel 12 and toward the end of that chapter. 23rd verse. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. And he gets specific here, that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So now we see that there's a sin right there. There's a sin for not praying for someone. I'm even guilty of that. You know, anyway, in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. 24th verse now. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. With all your heart. How often do we fail to do that? I'll give him part of my heart. I always go back to Malachi, the sickly offering, sacrifices and all that I give the Lord, and yet he still blesses. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Continue to consider that, how great things he has done for us. Even 10 minutes ago, a moment ago, but certainly when he laid down his life and then picked it up again. Think about that and then look forward to that day. If we start to grow weary or faint in our minds, then we look to that day when he will call our names and the sinfulness will be gone. We won't have to battle this any longer. We will realize our vile bodies will be changed. And then if we're still alive, then they'll be changed. And the body, soul, and spirit will go to him in a moment. There's no time there. And I tell you what, when we follow these things, when we pray to him, when we are receiving that chastisement, that correction in love and kindness and mercy and grace of God, then then we receive that at the instant that God sees that we need that correction, and it's perfect. Sometimes we may, and I think about in chastising our own children, in trying to raise them and all, do you give them a little more time on this? Let's see what happens with it. Do you? I've jumped the gun on correction. I've let it go too long. We fail at that. I tell you what, God does not fail at that. Our shepherd, he chastises us in the exact way that needs to be done, used, and at the very moment where it needs to happen. There's no mistakes there. And yet, he does it in love. And when we accept that and not despise that and consider him, then we're blessed in that. God bless and keep you is my prayer this morning. We'll close the service.